right. Here I am, ready to get my operation on my eyes, and I got some time. So, let's talk. It's another beauty. Another beauty. Oh. I know I keep trying to make plans with my hours each day, but as someone said, tell God your, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Because they usually don't work out. But some kind of outline, you know, some kind of rough idea would be nice. Yeah. My thought is my little hobby business that might make a couple of thousand a month profit. It's, could make more or less. Could make double that, could make half that, depending on how much I work. I guess I'm a good at deals I get. I find new ways of doing the business that might be more profitable. But probably the business I have done well at, now I didn't do it as a business, I did it as a hobby. That was the one I should have made into a business. It was podcasting. Because I had, you know, several hundred thousand downloads. Not because I'm somebody, but a lot of the people I interviewed were somebody's. So that caused a lot of downloads. Because people liked the way I interviewed them. So they went and listened to a lot of the interviews I had. So I need to put those back up again, because I got hacked. Some Spanish guy took it over and he put Spanish titles and had control of it. But at the time I was doing other things, making money, and thought, well, I just do this for a hobby anyway, so I'm not going to get into a big bunch of expenses to get rid of these. And then the Spanish guy that took over my podcast, he didn't do any interviewing. He just grabbed the podcast for I don't know what. But and then he got thrown off. He did something wrong. And he got my podcast thrown off. Really. Whatever, Apple Podcasts, whatever. Anyway, so I need to get those restarted back up again. Tried to talk to Apple. They can't even find any record of me ever having the podcast. I find that hard to believe. Yet I can go around different websites and they're still advertising my podcast. They're, you know, I'm still there with the interviews. Not with Apple, but a bunch of other places. So I don't understand why Apple can't find what I published with them. Anyway. But anyway, start anew. Get that going. And then interview for that field, which is income for baby boomers. And then I have another name I registered a few years ago and I haven't used it. I want to use it now, and that would be todaysinnovators.com, which I have that website. And I developed it too. Someone hijacked that, wrecked that too. Because I created some kind of landing pages and stuff, and someone screwed all that up too. So if you don't constantly monitor your websites, you got all these crazies out there that And even if they can't have any benefit, they like destroying things. To them, that's a benefit, being destroyers of people's stuff. You know, really nothing here I want, but I'll come in and smash the place up just for fun. So you've got these evil people in the world, but that's how they see them, right? Really understand. But evil's evil, and if that's what you want to do, you can. So, get that podcast going. Because I love inventors and innovators, and so I'm going to seek them. And I'm going to set it up so that different inventors and ideas that I come across, I can invest in, and others that are listening can invest in, if they think it's something's going to fly. But, you know, when you got new ideas and inventions, if the top people in those fields, then that would be like these incubators that have started some of the biggest companies in the world. Airbnb and different companies. This particular company started, and their success rate for the people, they see hundreds and hundreds, thousands probably, of businesses and opportunities to decide who they would back. They get it wrong 80% of the time. 80% of the people they back don't make it. So now, I don't understand that. Now maybe it's not just them, maybe it's an average. I don't know, but I've heard like it's something like 8 out of 10 don't make it for these incubators. And I'm thinking, jeez, these guys see thousands and they can't pick, do any better picking than that. It would seem. There's a lot of factors from something being successful. So, what can I say? There's a lot of different things going on. Yeah, I'm not. I can't expect. Actually, I do expect better average than that. But then if I look at all the companies I've started in the past, maybe 8 out of 10 is right. And 2 make it. Because I've tried a lot of things, done a lot of things, and didn't make it, but I gave it a try. Try, let's not try, do the try work. I actually started them and invested the time and actually did the work, and either didn't like it, or it wasn't successful enough, for whatever reason, it was a no-go. Put it that way. So it should be, you know, information for you and me that, hey, everything you try isn't going to work, no matter how smart you are. If the smartest guys in the world get it wrong 8 out of 10 times, then, you know, you may have some failures too. Will. Well, no, nothing's that in stone. You could be the exception to the rule. But if you're average, and you're the average business guy, well, actually, these guys aren't even average. They are experts in the field of what businesses might make it. They're really good at picking them out, and they get 8 out of 10 wrong. That means for the average guy, he might only get 1 out of 20 or 50 right. Ooh, that's not good. Anyway. But anyway, I want to start interviewing different people, different ideas, people that were already successful, and how they got there and how they think, so that other people can benefit from it. And then if there's an investment opportunity, if they're already way off the ground, they don't need any money. I don't know any companies like that. They all expect money. Anyway, let's just say that. Need money, want money to expand, then I can invest, you can invest, and we can try investing in the ones we think would be successful. Okay? The ones that might be the ones to go with. Okay? I mean, how many big breakthroughs do you need? Just one. All you need is, I mean, it doesn't have to be a unicorn. A unicorn being a billion-dollar venture eventually. If it's a $10 million deal or a $1 million deal, when you own 10% of it, that $100,000 a year will make a difference in most people's lives. Maybe not yours. Maybe you're making $1 million a year now, so another $100,000 isn't much. But for most people, that extra $100,000 would be coming handy. It would free them from their daily grind and focus on things that they want to do rather than things they have to do just to make a living. Excuse me, just to get by. Anyway. Well, that's my plan there. And for those that want to be on the board and listen to this interview, be watching for today's innovators.com. I won't be mentioning it as I get it off the ground and start interviewing, which now I'm going out west with my grandkids, and that's going to take 12 days, so probably not going to get much done until after that, but I can start setting the foundation so that when I get back, I can do it. But now I'm bringing my granddaughter back for a month, and she's most important to me, so I'm going to have to spend a lot of time with her, which is, that's, I want to fill her with hope of a good life, and get her to start a business. She's 7. Selling whatever, something. And help her to be an entrepreneur. So, now I maybe should keep all the details of how that goes, too. So you grandfathers out there, or fathers, might want to do that with your kids or grandkids, just for fun. But at the same time, they learn a lot, and they find out what works and doesn't work, and they realize, wow, I can make my own money. Now my grandkids from my son, I had them doing some stuff door to door, and they were making like $50 an hour. But they would have had their own money if they kept going, but anyway, for whatever reason, they stopped. And they had to depend on their parents, where they could have depended on their own money, but some people don't like that. At a young age, to be able to bring in your own money so you can do your own thing. Anyway, still, I'd like to lead them in that direction, and whatever happens, happens. Okay. If someone doesn't want to continue and they just want to be an employee, well, that's what we can do. It's their choice. Yeah. But seeking a business, I mean, we have to work in this life, or unless we want to be on welfare and do nothing, you know, there is that choice. That would be the last choice for me, because doing nothing doesn't do nothing for me. Okay. So I can't opt out for the do nothing. You know, I've tried to do nothing for a while, but it didn't work. I don't want to be in a welfare case. Maybe my pride or whatever. And my abilities. Why would I want to waste my abilities? I should be using them. Don't you think? So, anyway. We have to ferry out the things that would be most beneficial and useful and cause you to be happy with what you're doing all day rather than sad. And a lot of people in quiet life desperation, yeah, they do something all day they don't like. And it's not a good life. I mean, if you're going to do something, if you have to do something all day, you know, the type say, oh, I got to do something. Even if I had all the money in the world, I still got to do something. I mean, King Solomon said, I still got to do something. I'm the smartest guy in the world and the richest guy in the world, but I still have to do something. He said the only thing he got satisfaction was later in his life was his work. That's the only thing that worked for him, was his work. So, work's important. And work that's not your work, because if you hate something, you hate doing what you're doing, then you're not doing your work that you should be doing. You weren't made for that and you hate it. I don't care how much money you're making. I don't care what other reasons. If it's not, you're happy to go do your work. Like, you know how you have, how you're happy when you want to go do your, you go fishing? Go do your hobby, oh, you're happy. Well, that's the way work should be. If work's not happy, then you're not doing the right work for you. Yeah, but the pastor says, or parents say, or wife says that what you're doing is good work. It helps a lot of people, even though you hate what you're doing. Well, there's a conflict there. I mean, you also have to live your life, too. You can't just, you know, not live your life. You have to live your life. And it's a daily thing. So what is it you want to do all day? Now, if it's your hobby, if you've got a hobby you really like, then that, you got to figure out how that can make you money. And I think any hobby, if there's other hobbyists in there, you can make money. Because if you can be the expert in the field or gather them all together for meetings or whatever, and create a website and do a podcast about that hobby, or a newsletter, whatever way you want to approach it, then that's what you should be doing. That should be your day job. It shouldn't just be your evening job or your weekends. I love fishing. Well, how can I make money fishing? Well, what do you know about fishing? Well, I know about all the best hooks for this area. I know all the best fishing holes. I know all the best equipment because I spent a fortune on it. Then you know something that's worthwhile that others could use. All right? So. Let's see if anyone else is making money in the fishing area, and you start looking, and, oh, okay. And general fishing for all of the U.S., there's $100 million people are making between thousands of people that you're going to have a hard time competing with because you're too general. But now if I narrow it down to just my state, suddenly now there's only 20 companies, okay, doing what I want to do. Let's narrow it down further. The southwest part of my state, there's only three companies, three. And if you get down to three companies, you know there's still money there, but there's not a lot of competition there. That's the thing about three or four. But if you got 30, 40, 50, then you got a lot of competition with people that are really drilled down deep and they're hard to get their customers to come to you because they've been loyal to these guys for years. You can still do it, but you're going to do it the hard way. Why not do it the easy way? So I'm just doing that part of the state that I really know all the fishing holes, whatever, and the best hooks. And there's three other guys doing it, bringing in a million a year in their programs, and they'll tell you roughly what these companies are making per year from the work they're doing. So now you know there's a million, and they're dividing a million up between three guys, and one guy got 600 of it, and the other 400 is divided between the other two guys. And you look at their stuff and say, wow, they got some good information. But I have information they don't have. I got some great stuff that the fishermen want to know in this area. But they don't know about it, they're not talking about it, and I can't. So I can grab all the best of their stuff and then add my stuff. And start my own website. But feature the stuff I know they don't know. So that people are attracted saying, wow, this guy knows where the fishing holes and he's willing to tell us. And, hey, I'm going to tell you where one of the best fishing holes in this area is, if you give me your email and receive my newsletter. All right, so you give them an incentive to agree and sign. After you've got the email now, you give them a fishing hole, and then you say, by the way, I have two other fishing holes that are fantastic, right, in the same area. And if you want them, there's X amount of cost or whatever, or join my website, newsletter, whatever, which is $29 a month or $129, whatever. It depends on the field you're in. You have to look, right, and see what others are doing. To see where the money is, because they've already figured out the hard stuff. And a lot of these guys, those three guys that are promoting the fishing stuff, a lot of times they're not even fishermen. They're just promoters of a product. And they are what I would call hirelings. You know, like in the Bible, they talk about shepherds and hirelings. Shepherds really look after their sheep, and they really, sheep's important to them. A hireling is just, hey, as long as I get paid, I'll look after them, but I really don't have much interest in them. Well, a lot of people are just hirelings in fields that they're promoting, and you're going to be a shepherd because you do it and you love it, and you understand it and you appreciate it way beyond what they're thinking. You can beat them out just from the fact that you're not a hireling. They hear your voice and they know how excited you are and how much you enjoy what they enjoy, and the fire catches on and they want to be with you, not the other guy. That's right. Other guys. But again, even if you can just take 10% of that million, you're talking $1 million profit for these three companies for sure. If you can get 10% of it, that's 5%. Let's just say you get 5%. Let's say you get 2.5%. So you're gonna make $25,000 a year in something you love to start with, and then you're gonna build it up so that maybe one day you'll have the majority of the million. Or maybe you help build this thing to where it's 2 million. Because you brought new customers in because of who you are and what you know and who's helping you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an important thing. You can always beat out Ireland. Especially if you're talking. They hear your voice and that guy's like pretending he's excited, and this guy is excited. Or he's not even pretending to be excited. So, you're going to beat up the pretenders. But even if you don't like a field, you can still make it. As a friend of mine did, he hot dog stands. He wasn't particularly interested. He wanted to see if he'd break into a had a website going that actually made money, and it did. And he promoted it, really has no interest in it, and became a cash cow for him, made great money for him. I don't know how much, but compare that to a guy that does hot dog. Hot dog stands for a business, for a living. And he really lives it. Well, that guy's going to really have some guidance that's going to help you. That guy's going to have the enthusiasm you need to do the business, because he's excited about doing the business. He's not just passing by. Oh, I found the ad in the paper that I could promote hot dog stands. Don't like hot dogs and don't like stands. Oh, okay. Well, good luck with that. But like my friend, he's so knowledgeable in the promoting part that he could override the fact he had no enthusiasm for it. Now, he built up a little bit of enthusiasm because of the money. But the problem is, enthusiasm built on money doesn't work. And you can't sustain yourself, because now you're doing something you don't like all day, and you get bored, and then you move on. Or if it was your business and your heart's desire, then it's a whole other story. Now you're excited about doing it. So like me, interviewing inventors, well, I love inventors, and I love inventions, and I love innovations. And I've been an innovator myself, so it's now I'm dealing with a field that I know something about and I love. So my enthusiasm for that is going to make the difference for me being successful, or at least happy, joyous, happy with what you're doing. Happy is important. Because if you're not happy, then what kind of life are you living? Well, I'm just going to keep doing hot dogs there, even though I hate hot dogs and stands, for the next 15 years, and then I'll retire and do something I like. Well, why not start now? Maybe what you like, you could do right now, and it would make more money than hot dog stands. But it was a good example that you can't even make it in something you don't like. But why would you want to do it? So eventually, he got in this fellow that did the hot dogs. Got into Pokemon. And is probably making more money with Pokemon promoting that stuff than all his other companies combined. And even if it didn't, he's like on cloud nine because he's having so much fun with Pokemon. So, you know. You combine knowledge with talent and with what you love. That's an unbeatable combination, because you're going to be happy no matter what happens. I mean, look how many people, their hobby costs them a fortune. They're golfers, and they should immediately start a golf company and open a bank account so that all the time they golf, they're out testing golf courses or testing new clubs or whatever. But now everything is a write-off because it's your hobby. I mean, your hobby is becoming your business. Now everything changes. Okay. Now, some people take a business and make it into a hobby. Was making money, now it's not. That's not a good way, unless you're really making great money at something you love, and so you don't mind taking a loss. That's a good way to go. You lost nothing, really. That's something you want to do. Anyway, I am going in to get operated on here, and say pray for me. Pray for the aftermath. So that it goes well. Okay. Have fun today. Over and out.